Blog Talk Radio.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with special guest and noted critic Rebecca Murray about Sex and the City, the movie, and about other chick flicks. But first, I want to remind everyone to check out the identity theft protection services provided by LifeLock. This is extremely important, people, because identity theft just happens to be the fastest growing crime in our nation. Please go to www.lifelock.com, that's LifeLock, and see what the folks there can do to prevent your life from becoming worse than a horror movie. And don't forget to use our code and receive a 10% discount. That code is REALTALK, REELTALK, and it's all one word. Now, let's bring in my excellent producer, Nikki Starr, to help with the show. How are you this afternoon, Nikki? Hi, Nikki. Well, evidently, we're having some technical difficulties. I'm sure Nikki will be back with us in just a few minutes.
I'm right here.
Oh, there she is.
Sorry
all
about
right.
that. I'm trying to do three different things at once. So
well,
glad
you
to
are
be here.
You are the queen of multitasking, so I understand that. I was wondering if you had a chance to see Sex and the City, the movie, yet.
I actually haven't. We went to see it, and then the lines were so long, I just decided that I would wait until it was, you know, until it calmed down a little bit. But I would love to see it, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, that's what I thought, that you're probably as eager as I am to hear what our guest has to say about it.
Yes.
And some people are calling this a female empowerment event instead of a movie. So we're very fortunate to have Rebecca Murray with us. She reviews films for About.com, a top 10 internet site, which is part of the New York Times. And frankly, Nikki, I'm a bit jealous of Rebecca, because she gets to conduct celebrity red carpet interviews and covers the Academy Awards, for God's sakes, as well as countless movie premieres and other Hollywood special events. Plus, she belongs to the Broadcast Film Critics Association and the San Diego Film Critics Society. That last group is how I became connected, lucky enough to be connected with Rebecca. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Rebecca.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that great introduction.
Well, I meant every word of it, and Nikki and I are just very pleased you could be here, but I think we ought to just get right down to business. What was your general reaction to the film version of Sex and the City?
Well, I have to start by saying I was not a fan of the series. I watched it sporadically over the years, you know, maybe a few episodes here and there, but I never really got into it the way a lot of women did. So I went into the movie thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to like this thing. I know who these ladies are, but do I like this? And I was genuinely surprised at how much I did really get into the movie. It did a great job of capturing the tone and spirit of the series, and I think they did a fantastic job of putting a movie out there that women can really get into.
My feelings about this movie are similar to yours, but, you know, I still had that church lady inside of me that was really upset over so many graphic sex scenes and some of the crude dialogue. But I thought that the way it highlighted friendship, in fact, I thought it was a celebration of friendship rather than sex or the city, and I liked that very much about how these four women would do anything to help each other, how they met frequently, they talked about their problems, they were not perfect, every one of them had flaws, and I thought that the actresses just brought them to life on the big screen just as well as could be expected. I didn't get into the series at all. I saw maybe one or two of the segments, and I thought, this is too raunchy for me. I tuned out. So, like you, I went to that film expecting, you know, not to like it at all. So with our opinions that way, it must be a pretty good film to have won us over. Are there any favorite scenes or outstanding performances from the movie that you would like to mention?
Well, you know, I want to touch quickly on what you just said about the friendship aspect, and I think that was so very important. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are turning out in numbers to see this, is it's an event film. It's a film you can go with a bunch of ladies and see together as a group and really, really understand the friendships that's on screen, these lifelong friendships, or at least the friendships that have taken place over these ladies' adult life. And it's very important that that's highlighted in the film. As far as favorite scenes or outstanding performances, I think all four of the leads did a wonderful job, just like they did in the series. They were really able to capture these women. But I really, really love the scene where Carrie is parading out styles from years past in front of the women, and they're voting whether to keep them or toss them out. I thought that was really cute, and that really captured back into the whole series thing of how she progressed over those 6 years.
I like that scene, too. Anytime there's a fashion show up there, I'm, you know, no matter what the fashions are like, old or new or into the future,
uh-huh.
I really do like that. And that's why the scene where Carrie, that Sarah Jessica Parker's character, was trying on all those wedding gowns. Oh, I just, my jaw dropped.
Oh, yeah. And some of those gowns were just gorgeous.
They
just
were
beautiful.
And, of course, the labels and love, is that's what the narrator said the film was all about, or their stories were all about. But I'm like you, I liked all of the performances, but the one who wowed me the most was Kim Cattrall. Am I pronouncing that right?
Uh-huh.
Cattrall. She was just great with this flamboyant portrayal of the self-centered, man-eating Samantha. And, of course, I really never saw enough of her on TV to realize just how great she is as that character. She just practically stole the movie, as far as I'm concerned, along with the fashions.
Oh yeah, well I think that also most people seem to think that Cynthia Nixon is the most talented actress of the four, and I think she probably is the most mature in her characterization. But I do agree with you on Kim Cattrall's performance. She was fantastic. She does have that man eater down pat.
She certainly does. And speaking of Maneater, I kind of felt like one myself when I saw Chris Noth on the big screen. I've never seen him on the big screen before, and I just thought he was terrific in that role. Why hasn't he been in more movies?
I don't know. Is he just too busy on television? You know, some people prefer that type of series work to being on the big screen.
Well, it's certainly steadier. He's great in it's Criminal Intent on Law and Order. I think I do watch that every chance I get. But also, weren't you surprised with Jennifer Hudson in that supporting role as the helpful assistant to Sarah Jessica Parker's character?
You know, I wish it was a horribly underwritten role, but she really made the most of it. And, man, she's so gorgeous. I just love watching her up there. She seems to have so much fun. And I can't wait to see her in more films where she's actually more of a star instead of a supporting player.
She certainly brought some tender, touching moments in her scenes together with Sarah Jessica Parker. I love the part where Sarah Jessica Parker, who was the boss, brought her employee Jennifer Hudson coffee. instead of the other way around. I really did like that.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah. And I wish I could find a clone of that assistant. I need somebody like that to help me straighten out my cluttered life, just like she did the character in the movie.
You know, I think I would need a dozen of those, and it still probably wouldn't work.
You need more than one.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the same for me. Do you think the movie lives up to the expectations of the fans of the show?
Definitely, and from most accounts of fans who've seen the show exiting the theater, they seem to think they got their money's worth, and that's important. I'm not sure I want to see them go on with the show now and do another movie. I know there's been talk that Sarah Jessica Parker does want to do another major feature film now that this one did so well, but I really think this one answered all the questions, and it did that job so well, I don't want to see them try it again. But I think that, you know, overall the director did a great job of parceling out the time between the main characters, and every storyline was fulfilling. I think he did great. I think it was what the fans wanted.
I can vouch for that. If I had any doubt about the extent of fan devotion, watching this movie, you know, with a packed audience really cleared that up for me. During the screening I attended, applause rang out in the theater every time something good happened.
Oh, yeah, people were reacting to this movie, actually laughing and clapping out loud a lot more than hardly any other film this whole year.
I know they clapped enthusiastically as the end credits rolled at the theater that I attended, and I didn't see that kind of warm reception or that much excitement when I was watching Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, and I thought maybe those fans would be more excited than the Sex and the City fans, but it was the other way around.
Mm-hmm. But, well, also, you got to remember that the Sex and the City audience is one that's so underserved. They really appreciate something that touches them, whereas the guys get Iron Man and all these other movies all the time, so maybe they're just, you know, I don't know, they're not quite into the films as much as women are when something's really touching them.
I think you're right. I understand that in some cities, women actually bought out the theater and invited their friends to go with them to see this. So it is a devoted group of fans. And, you know, sitting next to me before the movie started, I had a chance to talk to a mother and daughter who had come to see the film together, and they were so funny. The mother, I'm sure she stretched this, but she told me that she felt she had nothing to live for after the last TV episode of Sex and the City. and then the daughter laughed at that, and she said, "Oh, yeah, we both were down." But then out came the DVDs, and they love to watch the DVDs, and they say that they put on an all-day Sex and the City marathon, and then they pretty much get out of their depression. And so after the show, I asked them what they thought about the movie, and they both thoroughly enjoyed it. So I think you're right. The fans of Sex and the City are just very, very pleased with the way the movie went. Nikki, are there any reactions from our chat participants about Sex and the City? Hi, Nikki. Nikki's doing her multitasking. So
she needs an assistant like Jennifer Hudson.
That's right. She needs Louise.
I'm so sorry. You know, I have like 20 windows open, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to get everything worked out with, you know, the intro and everything, and reading the chat. And yes, there are people in there who have reactions. So yeah,
do they
get it?
Do we have some fans of Sex and the City who...
Well, okay, we actually don't have very many people in the chat room right now who are chick flick fans. So we were discussing about what would be considered a chick flick.
Oh,
and
well, that
some
leads
of,
us, yeah.
Yeah, so
that
I'm...
kind of leads us.
I'm not, I went through a list of the top 50 chick flicks, and I don't think I've seen but one or two of them.
So we don't have a lot of fans of chick flicks in the chat room. Well,
maybe they might be confused about what's considered that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Rebecca, what's your definition of a chick flick?
You know, the definition to me is really loose. I think that what one person sees as a chick flick isn't what somebody else sees as a chick flick. To me, a chick flick is just a movie that engages you emotionally, has little or no action, has a lot of heart, and is very intelligent. And most men don't get it. That to me is a chick flick, but there's, I don't know. I mean, to me it's more of a feeling you get when you watch the movie where you know that film is going for the women in the audience and it's not for the men, and that's a good thing. I don't see being labeled a chick flick as a bad thing, and just because it's labeled a chick flick doesn't mean all men are going to be turned off by it. So to me it's a really loose definition. What is your definition?
Well, I like the way you explain it. You broadened it out, I think, and that's probably something to be considered. I'm kind of thinking about romantic comedies like The Wedding Singer or romantic tearjerkers like The Notebook or female buddy movies like Thelma and Louise, and, of course, I think Sex and the City falls into that category. And any movie that is made with women's issues and women's interests would probably be called a chick flick. So maybe if we talk about some of our favorite chick flicks, that would help. What do you have some favorite ones you'd like to mention?
Well, you just touched on one of mine. One of my favorite ones is The Notebook. I love that film. I can watch that one over and over and over again. Same with Love Actually. That's another one that whenever I see it on TV, I'm just dying to watch it again and again. But then I also have musicals that I consider chick flicks that I
also
watch.
That's what I like, yes.
Yeah, like Phantom of the Opera. I love watching that, and you're not going to catch many men getting into that. So to me, that's a chick flick. Moulin Rouge, Rent, all those are movies that are going to draw in the female audience that are really aimed at us and that I consider chick flicks.
Well, I am so glad you put musicals in there, because if you do that, then this is my favorite genre.
Yes,
that's what I like musicals better than anything. And some of the ones that I've enjoyed recently have been definitely Maybe. That's not a musical, but that's a romantic comedy. The Devil Wears Prada. I even liked What Happens in Las Vegas, and
that was
I had Love Actually on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Music and Lyrics, Kate and Leopold, all those Bridget Jones films.
Uh huh.
Pride and Prejudice, Must Love Dogs, Down with Love, Fever Pitch, The Wedding Singer, which I already mentioned, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, The
but
Holiday.
But see, when you touch on The Wedding Singer, we probably do consider that a chick flick, but don't guys like that one as much as we do?
Probably they do, because it has Adam Sandler.
Exactly.
The best Adam Sandler movie ever. And I liked 2 Weeks' Notice and some of the oldies but goodies, All About Eve, Stella Dallas, and Affair to Remember. They used to make some really, really great chick flicks. So I guess chick flick is kind of a misnomer, isn't it?
Well, I just think it's really tough to figure out what is and what isn't. To me, a chick flick is whatever, when I'm watching it, I know it's a chick flick. It's kind of hard to describe. It tugs at me emotionally, and I think that's the main part, is where does it hit you? Does it hit you in the heart? Okay, it's probably a chick flick. But it doesn't have to be a romantic comedy. And I really do feel musicals are chick flicks.
Well, I'm going to accept that, and
my boyfriend would totally agree.
Yeah, and you're making me feel really, really good. I think we have a caller, so let's see what this caller would like to add to the conversation. Hello, caller 609. Thank you for calling Movie Attic headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Betty Jo. This is Fausta.
This is Fausta. I'm so glad to hear from you, Fausta. And what I know that you're going to make our discussion even more interesting, as you usually do. What do you think about chick flicks?
You know, I never thought of musicals as chick flicks, because I think of musicals as more of adaptations of Broadway shows with a general public entertainment. So that's very interesting. Definitely The Phantom was wonderful.
I watch that whenever I can. And Fausta, I wanted you to say hi to our guest, Rebecca Murray.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you? I like your point about there being based on stage plays, but I always try and make sure that when I'm watching a film, I forget where it comes from. I try not to think about the book. I try not to think about the TV series. I try not to think about the stage play. So if I'm just judging a movie musical for what it is, I see them as chick flicks.
Now, how about a musical, which I don't think a lot of people consider a musical, that I don't think is a chick flick? How about Ray?
I'm sorry, what?
Ray.
Ray, with Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't see that.
Ray Charles story.
I definitely do not see that as a chick flick.
That's more a biopic, a biography, like the one with Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix,
the line. So those would be more biopics, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, the difference between Ray and Walk the Line is that in Ray, the music actually, like they used to do in the old classic musicals, the music actually furthers the action.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's
in Walk the Line, some of the music numbers do, but some don't. In Ray, all of them do.
That's
absolutely
true. That's true. Fausta, when you say that, you know, let's disregard, let's pretend that we haven't been enlightened by Rebecca.
Remember, it's just my opinion.
Why do you not appreciate the traditional chick flick? What do you have against them?
Well, because, you know, I tend to think of things with, like, what's the name of the blonde actress that was Sleepless in Seattle?
Meg Ryan.
Yeah, you know, I tend to think of those movies, and I just, you know, I'd rather go see Iron Man and Batman and...
Spider-Man. I feel the same way.
Fausta and I, yes, we're close the same about those movies.
Is that right, Nikki?
Yes, and to me, I'm just going to interject something really quickly. When I hear the word chick flick, I feel it's kind of derogatory.
I think you're with most people. I think that's what,
okay,
you know... Most people believe that a chick flick is a bad thing, and that's
mm-hmm.
why a lot of studios absolutely hate it when their films are labeled as chick flicks, because they know it's going to cut down on the audience willing to fork over money and go see them. But I really don't see chick flick as a bad label. I just think it's just another way of describing what you're going to see on the screen, and it's not necessarily bad. But I'm with you guys. I would not pick a Meg Ryan movie over going to see Iron Man. I love Iron Man.
Oh, don't we all? We're all in love with Robert Downey Jr. now.
I was going to say, I mean, that was going to be my next question. Doesn't he look hot in that movie? I mean, he looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely looks fantastic. He's taking care of himself again, which is really nice to see.
Yes, and he must have been for a long time for the insurance companies to actually insure such an expensive movie with him carrying it.
Right.
At least that's the way I see it. I may be wrong, but
I think they did a good job of actually casting an actor who understood, because he'd gone through the pain of going through the same thing almost as Tony Stark did. I mean, he could relate to this guy's problems, and I think they did a great job of casting Robert Downey Jr. in that role. Plus, he's just a darn good actor. And
mm-hmm.
I think that if they're going to make successful superhero movies, that's what they need to do. They need to get a Christian Bale. They need to get a Robert Downey Jr. We'll see what happens with Edward Norton and the Incredible Hulk. He's a great actor, but can he pull it off?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Edward Norton. Now, here's a chick flick for you. The Illusionist.
Oh, that was a beautiful film.
Oh, let me tell you.
That had everything. That had
Which
love.
One?
The Illusionist.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
You got to see
gorgeous.
It. And there's a scene when she gets on the coach and he says, whatever the name of the character was, he just says hello and her name, and I just went like, wow.
That's the same with me. Well,
he's the Illusionist. Hello, Sophie. When Edward Norton says hello, Sophie, I was like, oh my gosh, that was good.
We melted. Yes, that was a chick flick. But I think the fact that he was a magician and the mystery surrounding it kind of broadened it out so that men like that particular movie also. And of course, they do like Edward Norton because he's been and played all those masculine roles, Fight Club and American X, or where he played
American History X.
Oh,
American
yes.
History X, where he played. So they would go and see him, even in a chick flick. Now, I'm waiting to see Robert Downey Jr. in a chick flick.
Well, is Iron Man a chick flick? I mean, it's got romantic interest. It's got him. Gwyneth Paltrow wears great shoes.
No, I think it would be really, really stretching it to call Iron Man a chick flick.
I think so. I think we would be stretching it if we call that a chick flick, and the people that put out Iron Man would be upset with us.
Just a little.
Yeah. Well, I think, Fausta, some of the chick flicks are overly sentimental,
yes,
and manipulative. And I know from calls that you've made before to the program that those are not the kinds of movies that you like. In fact, I think you and I are the only two people on the face of the earth that didn't like It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I hated It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, gosh.
Because of the sentimentality and the and the manipulation. And
yeah, and it's anti-business, and the guy was a drip anyway. I hated him.
So I believe we have another call. Fausta, will you stay on the line while we take this other call?
Oh, sure, if you want me to, sure.
Yes, I would love for you to. Hello, area code 602. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters. Who's calling, please?
This is Jazz. How you doing?
Jazz, welcome to Movie Attic headquarters again. We're so glad you called. What do you think about all this chick flick business?
Okay, I have an issue with Sex and the City.
Uh-oh, okay. I'm glad
Listen.
You called because we were all too glowing about it, I think.
And I don't mean to poop in your cereal or anything here, but this movie, I think it's hilarious that they call it a chick flick because, in the end, I don't think that four women of these kind exist on the planet. I mean, you look at it, you've got one's a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
one's a writer, one is a promoter, and I don't know what Kristen Davis actually does. For a living.
She's a housewife. She's a Park okay, Avenue
right.
princess.
Now, they're all independent. They all have really good jobs. They all go out to clubs and meet men. The majority of them are commitment phobes. This is a story about men that just
happens. That's played by women?
That is played by women. The
well,
women like this don't exist. Girls hate each other, so they could never stay friends for that long.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you this right now. You will never find three of the girls in you. You've got what's her name? The skanky one in the show.
Samantha.
That's a dude. That's a guy. I mean,
oh, no.
I'm sorry. There, women like that don't exist. Women who try to screw as many good-looking men as possible to get another notch in their belt. That's what guys do.
Wait,
and when guys do that, they're assholes.
Okay, but women can be just like that. Just because you may not have met that person who does that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Well, I appreciate him calling in, but I did mute him because we need to move on.
the guys don't have a chance to talk, Nikki. Well, I think
you
that,
know
that,
me.
that may be the opinion that some men have, and there is a point to what Jazz was saying. I think that particular character has sort of adopted, you know, more of the masculine mystique, and but that kind of made her interesting because she was a lot different than the other three, and it just added flavor, you know, to their little group. And I think all four of those women made us see how valuable friendship is. And friends are people who know all your faults and like you just the same. And that came through loud and clear, I think, in that particular movie. What's your comment on what Jazz said, Rebecca?
That wasn't Jazz, by the way. That was somebody pretending to be Jazz. He's
oh,
in the
I
Jazz
see.
Is in the chat room, and he's letting you know that
oh.
that was not him. Please don't think that was him.
well, it's still. That's an opinion, and I think we're all entitled to our opinion. So, Rebecca, what do you think about the point made that these four characters are more like men than women?
I don't see it. I mean, I understand that where he's coming from, but I just don't agree with him that these women don't exist. These women can be just as ruled by their sex drive as a man can, and I just don't see where he's coming from with that whole thing that this is a bunch of people that you would never meet on the streets. We may not meet them. They may not run in our social circles, but they're out there.
That's true, and I disagree with the point made that women hate each other. I think that's a myth. I think we have friendships that last forever, a lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And also, too, I think he was insinuating to the fact that there can't be powerful and strong women like a lawyer and a writer. I just, no. I mean, yeah. And it wasn't Jazz. Now he says he's going to have to call in and make sure that I say on the podcast that that wasn't him. I love this.
Well, Jazz, of course, you could, you're free to call in at any time, and we appreciate the contributions from the callers. But well, why don't we go back to talking a little bit about chick flicks in general? And Fausta, what was the worst chick flick you've ever seen?
Oh gosh, there have been so many.
Meg Ryan.
Yeah, well, IQ, and that was, but that I have personal reasons for that one because that was filmed in Princeton and it had Meg Ryan in it and
Tim Robbins
and Walter Matthau, and everywhere. That was when my son was a baby. It was like 16, 17 years ago, and everywhere you went in town, they were filming the stupid movie, and traffic was backed up. And then the movie was lousy.
That's the one about Einstein's theory?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes,
Tim Robbins was supposed to be like a super genius garage mechanic.
A super genius garage mechanic. Well, that's a possibility. We don't want to be stereotypical, but that's not one of my favorite chick flicks either. What about you, Rebecca? What's the worst
I can think
one?
Of one recently that I just absolutely loathed, and that was Georgia Rule with Jane Fonda and Lindsay Lohan. I just, that movie, I hate movies that play down to the audience, and that movie did it. And I just, if I never see that thing again, I'll be happy.
And it certainly, it certainly made all the women in it look terrible.
It did.
So that's a good choice for the worst one you've seen. What about you, Nikki?
Well, I have two. I didn't like The English Patient at all, and
well,
I did not care for The Notebook.
I had problems with The Notebook in terms of its I'm sorry, Rebecca.
I know. Okay.
In terms of its sentimentality, and also
right.
the casting of the characters as young people and when they grew up didn't seem to match. So that kind of threw me off. So I would have to pick, and I hate to pick this one because I love the two leads in it, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, The Lake House.
Oh.
I thought that was one of the most far-fetched movies of any kind that I've ever seen. And the last one that I've seen that just irritated me beyond belief was Maid of Honor with the guy that's on Grey's
Patrick
Anatomy,
Patrick Dempsey,
and the Monahan, one
Michelle.
Of the Monahan girls, yeah, Michelle Monahan. I just thought that Dempsey should stick to drama. His slapstick was more pathetic than funny. He's kind of like Jodie Foster was in Nim's Island. Anytime she tried to do slapstick, I mean, I just groaned instead of laughed. So those would be my two. What actors and actresses do the best job in chick flicks? Now, we already know that Meg Ryan is ruled out, unless one of us disagrees.
You know, Meg Ryan, a long time ago, I was a very big romantic comedy Meg Ryan fan. I am over that. I still like to see Sandra Bullock in romantic comedies. I still think she does a great job. Sometimes she doesn't pick the best projects, but overall she does a really good job in romantic comedies. We never see Julia Roberts in them, and she used to be in them all the time. But now I really think Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Garner, Rachel Weisz, Amy Adams, even like Anne Hathaway, any of those are decent in romantic, well, not romantic, but chick flicks.
Those are great. I see we have another call, and I'm going to see if Wild Wagon is on the line. Hello, you've reached Movie Addict headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Hey, what's up? This is Wild.
Yes, I thought it was Wild. What do you think about chick flicks and Sex and the City?
I personally haven't seen Sex and the City myself, but I think one of the premier, well-known guy chick flick kings is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Oh, he's in a lot of them, isn't he?
Oh, yes. He's got a library like no other.
So, he's not. I don't think he's on our list, but he sure does. He sure does have a resume that includes a lot of chick flicks, including some others. Who do you think is the best actor or actress, Nikki, in the chick flicks?
I have to say, this is not my specialty, but I love Reese Witherspoon so much. And I want to let you know that the real Jazz is on the air. Can I bring him in?
Oh, sure. Yes, please do. I didn't see that. Thank you, Nikki.
Hi, Jazz.
Hi, Nick.
This is the real Jazz. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, it is. And I just have to say, even though I'm no expert on chick flicks, that if I've gotten to the point where I have impersonators on the radio now, I have gotten way too famous.
I think you are. You're getting to the, no, Tomorrow the World, right?
Hey, you never know. You never know. We could be taking over. I did not see Sex and the City, the movie, either. But just to clarify my position from the fake Jazz, I was forced to sit through innumerable episodes of the television show, and I don't find the characters to be unrealistic. I just find them to be annoying. And I've met a lot of annoying women in real life and annoying men as well, you know, so I don't think it's unrealistic. I just didn't find it particularly watchable, you know, unless one of them was taking their clothes off.
So, well, we've kind of heard from the males, the male point of view on this. I'm glad, because I thought maybe the program would end up being all women. I have to get my two cents worth in here about the most watchable actors and actresses, and I just absolutely never miss a chick flick or any other kind of flick that Colin Firth is in. He's a brilliant actor. I will, and I'll watch it 3 and 4 times. I do like Hugh Grant, and Drew Barrymore, I have crowned the queen of romantic comedy, but she didn't invite me to her coronation, so I'm willing to depose her for one of the other actresses suggested here.
Well, perhaps
I
you
agree
can
with all
get
yours.
In touch with her after she gets out of jail for her recent crack bust.
Oh, that's so sad to hear about.
Yes, it was.
That really
in the
is.
In the chat room, Sandcastle Jules wants to ask you how do you feel about Cary Grant as the king of chick flicks.
Well, he certainly was the king of about everything, wasn't he, mm-hmm. in his day? Yeah, that's really great.
Okay.
Does Pretty
that.
Woman count as a chick flick?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's
okay, I kind of liked that one.
Yeah, that's a classic chick flick. But I was wondering if there are any actors or actresses that haven't been in chick flicks that you'd like to see. I want to kick it off because last week we were talking is there about an actor that you'd like to see, and I mentioned Josh Holloway, the actor who plays Sawyer in Lost. And I just am such a fan of his now, mm-hmm. and I think he would be great. And you mentioned Clark Gable. He kind of has that same Clark Gable.
Oh, he's awesome.
Charisma. So I would like to see him. How about you, Rebecca?
You know, I couldn't come up with anyone who hasn't been in a chick flick
that
I'd really want to see venture into the territory.
Well, so they pretty well covered the waterfront as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
How about Clive Owen?
Oh,
Has
yeah.
Clive
oh.
Owen being a chick flick?
Well, I don't know. Do you consider Elizabeth the Golden Age a chick flick? He was the love interest. It's definitely aimed at women.
He was?
Yes.
Oh, I got to see that.
That's the.
Which is odd as a chick flick you'll like.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, we will watch that particular actor in about.
I was seeing Josh in like a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or a Trainspotting kind of movie. I think Josh would do really well there.
He would.
I think
that would
be great for him.
He would do well in anything. Well, let's also look to the future here to see what upcoming chick flicks people are looking forward to. Rebecca, what's on the horizon here?
Well, I was thinking Time Traveler's Wife looks pretty good.
I haven't heard of that.
That's going to be with Rachel McAdams and Eric Bana. Is it Bana or Bana?
Bana, I think.
Okay.
Bana.
I always get his name confused. I like him, but, you know. Confessions of a Shopaholic. Then there's Julie and Julia with Meryl Streep. Oh, and another musical coming up with Meryl Streep. Mamma Mia, which is definitely aiming for the women.
Yeah, Scott Colin Firth in it.
Scott Colin Firth is right.
It does, and Pierce Brosnan. That's going to be a
God.
Nice combination.
July 18th, a musical and a chick flick. I am so there.
Wow, it's going to be a long summer.
It is. Yeah, but the Dark Knight's coming up, too, so you got that. Men have all the flicks during the summer, practically, so it's nice to have a couple out there for the women.
I think so too, and you mentioned some interesting ones. I know people are going to groan, But I'm actually looking forward to The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. I hate that title. I hate that title, but I loved the first movie. And that's another one of those female buddy movies that I thought did a good job of showing the value of friendship and keeping friends over the years. And then I just saw the previews for this, and I couldn't believe the cast. It's a remake or possibly an updating of The Women.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
coming out September the 12th. And listen to this cast. Annette Bening, Eva Mendes, Meg Ryan, sorry about that, Fausta, Carrie Fisher, Candace Bergen, Jada Pickett Smith, Deborah Messing, Cloris Leachman, and Bette Midler. How about that for a cast? Now, it's a remake of the 1939 George Cukor movie that starred Norma Shearer, Joan Crawford, Rosalind Russell, Paulette Goddard, and Joan Fontaine was in that one too, based on a Claire Booth Luce sort of cynical, kind of sarcastic play. So that one is definitely on my list. I can't believe that we're down to only 4 minutes. The time just goes by so fast, and I'm really, really happy, Fausta, that you called in, and Jazz, and even the Jazz imitator.
You've got to track that guy down and hunt him down.
I love that.
I thought.
You're so famous.
That's right.
Paul,
I mean,
we're doing a show on we're back to doing shows on Thursdays, by the way, me and Cindy. And if you're still listening, Jazz imitator, I want you to call in because I must repudiate you and send you to the fires of hell.
Well, I think he probably will. He probably will call in. I want to ask you just one last very important question, Rebecca. What's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work as a film critic?
Ooh, that it's a lot of fun.
No,
I think the most important thing is to always remember, no matter what film critic you're reading, they are usually fans of films. They are looking
right.
at films from their own perspective. Reviews are opinion pieces, and we're not all going to agree. And it's perfectly fine not to agree with a critic. And I think the most important thing everybody needs to remember is that you need to read somebody's work, see if they share the same voice that you do, and if not, put them aside and go on to a different critic. I think the most, like, one thing I'd like people really to know about my job is there is no better job in the world than to be able to sit through movies and get paid for it. It's a wonderful life.
Well said, Rebecca. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and thank you so much for being such a great guest. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their help in connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki Starr for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen, and to Rebecca Murray for sharing her interesting opinions with us today. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or called in or participated in the chat. We really appreciate it. Please come back next time for another lively discussion about movies. You never know who will be imitated on Movie Addict Headquarters. In the meantime, check out our insightful and entertaining movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's the very talented A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.